Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. The Lord's been dealing with me about this for a few days. And Brother Scotty asked me to preach, and I felt like this is what the Lord wanted me to share. 23 and verse 7. It says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." But the scripture says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And did you know that your thought life is going to determine whether you are an overcomer or whether you are defeated?
Amen.
How you think. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. It means to have a mind after the spirit or to have a mind after the flesh. If your mind is going after the flesh, fleshly things, and you're thinking on fleshly things, brings death to you. But if your mind is going after spiritual things, it will bring life to you. Because your mind is... The thoughts that we think can either make us or break us. There is a battle for your mind.
Amen.
The devil wants your mind. There is the battle that we're fighting is not a battle where we're taking a sword and going after the devil and trying to fight the devil with a sword or a stick or a gun or something like that. But the battle that we're fighting is a spiritual battle. And the battle has to do with your mind. Because the enemy wants your mind. He wants your thoughts. And because, you know, how many remembers that story about the train that thought he could? You know, I think I can. Did you know that if you think you can, you can. But if you think you can't, you can't. If you think that God can't help you, he can't. But if you think God can help you and you believe God can help you, he will. Glory to God. And so your thought life has a lot to do with whether you're victorious or whether you're defeated. The Bible talks about a mind that's unapproved of God. A reprobate mind. A mind that's not approved of God. And when we first get saved, all of us, our minds were fleshly minds. We thought fleshly. But when we get saved, God begins to change the way we think. The Holy Spirit, the more that we're full of the Spirit of God, the more that he begins to work on us. The more you yield yourself to God, the more that God will affect your thinking and cause you to see things from his perspective. He said in Isaiah 55, he said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways." He said, "Repent and turn back to me." But what he was saying was, he wanted us to have his thoughts. He wants us to think the way he thinks. But the enemy also wants to cause us to keep thinking the wrong way. Look with me to Romans chapter 12, or excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 first. Let's read that. Glory to God. And let's read verse 3. It said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." See, he's telling us there's a warfare in your mind. He said, "Casting down imaginations and everything, every high thing that exalts itself above the knowing of God." And see, when man sinned in the garden, Afterward, it said that man's heart was only evil continually. His mind was only evil continually. He was thinking evil thoughts all the time. And then Jesus came to redeem man back to God, because in the beginning, Adam thought the thoughts of God. The way Adam thought, the way he saw things, was the way God saw things. And he had a, how many knows that whenever we have a spiritual mind, it opens us up to great potential. But whenever we have a carnal mind, it brings us down and makes us small-minded. It calls us not to be as, you know, a lot of these people think that they're spiritual elites. I mean, not spiritual, but, you know, a lot of the politicians and these liberals and stuff, that they think they're elite, you know, they think they're smarter than everybody else. And really, they're not, you know. But when we are led by the Spirit of God and full of the Spirit of God, your thoughts is going to be, it's going to cause you to expand the way you see things. It's going to cause you to, it's going to make you wiser. It's going to make you, and not only that, but it's going to direct your path.
Right.
The Bible says, commit your ways unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established.
Yep.
Did you know that one of the ways that God controls our thinking is when we commit ourselves to Him?
Yep.
I never forget, back when I first got saved, right before I got saved, I had a foul mouth. I couldn't quit cussing. I tried to. But, I mean, right before I got saved, you know, God started dealing with me, and I started feeling guilty because of the way I was talking, you know. And so I started trying to straighten up my talking, you know. I tried not to curse and say things, you know, and I couldn't make it. I couldn't make it through the day. I'd go for a little while, and then I'd let something fly out of my mouth. And I kept trying my best to bring everything under control, because I didn't really know what salvation was. I thought salvation was just being a pretty good person, going to church and stuff like that. And so I thought that I had to do it myself. I thought I had to make myself quit cussing and quit, you know, doing all this stuff. So I was trying to bring it under control, and I could not. I mean, I was doing my best, and I still was messing up every day. And then right after that, I went to a church service, and that was where I got saved. And, I mean, I really got born again that day. And when I was up there, I was sitting back there in the back, and the preacher was up there preaching, and I said, Lord, if this church is really right, and I said, if this is really a man of God, I said, tell him to come back here and ask me if I want to pray. And as soon as I said that, the preacher stopped what he was doing, walked right straight back to me, looked at me and said, do you want to pray? And I said, yes, I do. And I mean, I slid into that altar on my knees. And the man led me in a sinner's prayer. And when I prayed that prayer, something happened to me. I got born again. I broke and started crying, and I wept and wept and wept and wept. I got up, and you know what? I never cussed again. Not one time. But you know why? It was because I committed my way unto the Lord. I gave the Lord my heart. I gave Him my life. I surrendered myself to Him. He came into my life, and when He did, He changed my thoughts. He changed the way I thought. I never hurt myself and hit my thumb and cussed. I never let a bad word out, and it wasn't hard. I wasn't even having no problem doing it. It didn't. Why? You know, people say, well, you got to renew your mind. No, the Holy Ghost will renew your mind. The Spirit of God, when you commit your way unto the Lord will cause your thoughts to be established. He'll cause you to quit cussing. He'll cause you to quit saying negative stuff and quit saying stuff that you shouldn't say, because he causes you to think in a different realm. You're not thinking on the same rim you did before. Now you're on a higher rim.
Right.
Glory to God. And so, but the enemy wants your thought life. And you know, one of the things that happens, you know, well, in the Old Testament, God told Joshua, He told him, He said, meditate in the law of the Lord day and night, that you may prosper in whatever you set your hand to do. He said, meditate in it day and night. Why do you think that God was saying that? Because He knew that if they didn't have their mind on the Word of God, that their mind was going to be on something else.
Right, right.
When the children of Israel, when Moses come in to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, he told them, Pharaoh told them, he said, they got too much time on their hand. He said, make them gather their own straw where they ain't got time to be thinking, you know. And so they caused them to do that. And when they did, it took away their thought life, because it's like their thoughts. How many of you know, if you're out there gathering straw, you ain't got time to be thinking about something else because you're too busy working and doing all this stuff. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to keep you busy with things occupying your mind so that you won't have time to think about the things of God. And I'll tell you something. You don't have to be doing nothing wrong if you just let your mind stay in neutral all the time. It will affect you spiritually. Just like you went out and got drunk. I mean, just like you went and done some terrible sin. If you don't let your, if you don't keep your thought life and keep it committed to God, just being busy with life and your mind on everything, on your problems and troubles and cares and all that kind of stuff, it will affect you spiritually. It really will. I mean, because I've been through it, and I'm sure everybody in here has too. I mean, you go through something in your life, and it causes your mind to think on it all the time. And when you think and think and think and think and think, and what it does, it takes your thoughts away from God, and you're on this problem or this care. And then first thing you know, your desire for God is not like it used to be. You don't care whether you go to church. You don't care whether you read the Bible. You don't care. Why? Because your thoughts got pulled aside by your cares and by the problems and things of life. And so that's the battle.
Yeah.
See, that's why he's talking about the warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Our weapons are the power of the Holy Ghost. How many knows when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it will edify you? The Bible said it will build you up.
Yeah.
Paul said, I'll pray in the Spirit and I'll pray in my understanding also. I remember years ago, that when I was working with some guys in Birmingham, and I was coming home one day with them, and they were pretty wicked people. They had a good heart, but they were pretty bad wicked. And so they were telling dirty jokes all the way home, you know. And so I'm sitting back there going, I don't want to hear this, you know. But I still heard it anyways because I was in the car with them. And so when I got to church that night, I'm sitting back there, and the preacher's up there preaching, and guess what? I'm sitting back there thinking about them dirty jokes going through my mind, because that's what I was hearing on the way to church. And I'm sitting there, and I said, God, I don't want this in my life. I said, what? I said, help me, Lord. And as soon as I said that, the Holy Ghost hit me, and man, I started speaking in tongues. And I mean, I was just standing there just speaking in tongues, and it was just I was just praying in tongues and praying in tongues. And all at once, it's like I saw a vision of a river flowing through my mind and washing out all that junk out of it. And as soon as I quit praying in tongues, I never thought about another time about those dirty jokes those guys were telling me. And so I learned something. That when you pray in the Holy Ghost, it helps bring your thoughts back into line with what God wants you to do. It's almost like a radar. When you start praying in tongues, it's like it zeroes in on God. And it causes your thoughts to start thinking that way. As a matter of fact, that's how many times I've got many, many, many hundreds of messages when I would be fixing to preach. And I wouldn't know which direction to go. And I'd be saying, Lord, what do you want me to preach? And I didn't know. And so I'd kneel down beside my bed and I'd start praying in tongues. And when I start praying in tongues, all at once, I'd have a thought. And I'd write that thought down. And then I'd pray in tongues and I'd have another thought. And I'd write that thought down. And I kept thinking, and then all at once I looked down and I said, this is a message. And so I write down it and I start looking the scriptures up that went with it. And then when I'd get to church, I'd be fixing to preach, and all at once the Sunday school teacher would get up and she would teach everything I was fixing to preach. Somebody else would stand up back there and start telling some story or telling something exactly about what I'm fixing to preach. And so God confirms it by two or more witnesses. But see, my thoughts were established while I was praying in the Holy Ghost. That's one of our weapons. But see, sometimes people don't know it's a weapon, and they don't know that when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, it'll help get rid of those thoughts that are bombarding your mind. and trying to take you away in a wrong direction. Glory to God. But in Romans chapter 12, in verse 1, it said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But notice here, he said, bring your body a living sacrifice. And then he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, when you give yourself a holy sacrifice to God, when you commit yourself to God, you know what God does with sacrifices? In the Old Testament, when he would consume the sacrifice. He would just, the fire of God would consume that sacrifice and the smoke would go up to God. So whenever you are a living sacrifice, God consumes you. And when he does, the thoughts of God begins to come into your mind. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this word transformed here is a word that means metamorphosis. It's a word that happens when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. It goes through a metamorphosis. And so he said that when your mind is being renewed, he said there's going to be a transformation take place. And guess what that transformation be? We might go in a worm, but we come out a son of God.
Right.
You come out a child of God. You go in a worm, you come out a child of God with some wings. Right. You know, you can fly in the spirit, and you see things from a different perspective, and you know that God is on your side, and you know that there's nothing impossible for God. Right. See, faith causes you to see things and know that God will not, you know, faith, the Bible says faith is a substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen. Did you know that God wants to use your imagination for good?
Yep.
Good things that you hope for. But you know what? The devil wants to use your imagination for evil.
Yep.
To where that you imagine and you know, it's what we call worry.
Right.
When we start worrying and we start seeing in our imagination something bad coming to us, our kids or our family or something, we start worrying and we start seeing it in our imagination and we help bring it to pass.
Yep.
But the same thing's principle is true in the positive side. If our imagination is used by God to where that we start seeing the things that we're hoping for, the things that we're wanting. And you know, and the thing of it, did you know it's hard to do this if you're not in a right spirit?
Sure.
How many knows when you are in a negative, judgmental, bitter spirit, it's hard to have a good imagination?
Yes, it is.
It is. I mean, it really is. When you're in a bad spirit, it just don't work right for you. So that means we ain't supposed to be in a bad spirit. It means we ain't supposed to be in a negative, pessimistic spirit. It means we're supposed to be in a positive spirit, the Spirit of God. And if we're committing ourselves to Him, He will cause, it will change our attitude. How many know sometimes we need an attitude adjustment? God will adjust your attitude. As a matter of fact, your attitude determines your altitude. If you got a bad attitude, it's going to keep you down here low. But if you got a good attitude, it's going to cause you to go higher in God. But it has to do with your thinking. You know, it's not the trouble, it's not the trial that defeats you, but it's how you see the trial.
Right.
It's how you respond to it.
Right.
Because if you see yourself defeated before you ever get started, you're going to be defeated.
Sure.
But if you can believe that God can help you, that God can make a way where there seemeth to be no way. You know, that's what we got. We got to encourage one another. As a matter of fact, when people see you, when they see God work in your life, it gives them encouragement.
Right.
You know, your life is a testimony for somebody else. It's an encouragement. When somebody sees God working in your life, they say, well, hey, if he can do it for him, he can do it for me. But wrong thinking will take you down a wrong path.
Yep.
Wrong thinking. I remember one time I was working with this guy. I wasn't working with this guy, but there was this friend of mine, and he didn't have a job. And he was so negative. He was like, I said, well, I'll take you up there to the employment office and we'll see if we can get you a job. I can't get a job. They ain't no jobs out there. They ain't gonna give me no job. I ain't got a way to work. I can't get no job out. Blah, 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 blah. And I said, just shut up. I said, we're gonna go up here and see what we can find out. And I said, well, I believe God can help you. And so we went up there, and sure enough, they sent him down to Louisiana Pacific down there to go to work, and it was a temporary job. He said, well, I ain't got no way to work. I said, well, I'll take you to work. I'll come pick you up and take you over there. So I went and carried him over there, and I kept encouraging him, and I kept telling him, I said, now look, when you go out here on this job, I said, this first day, well, I said, when everybody else sits down, I said, you keep working. I said, you get a broom, start sweeping, and you keep busy and stuff like this, and I said, and if they're needing to hire somebody permanent, they'll hire you. And so, sure enough, when I went back and picked him up that next day, he said, guess what? They hired me permanent. He said, I kept working like you said. He said, I kept on. And he said, and they hired me. And so I carried him back and forth a few times, and then he started riding somebody that worked with him. But the thing of it was, see, he was so negative, he done talked himself out of a job before he ever even tried to get a job. And see, that's what we do sometimes. We, instead of having an expectation that God can fill, we talk ourselves out of it and say, there's no use in trying. What's the use in trying? It ain't ever going to work. God can't do that. I done tried it one time and it didn't work. I tried that healing stuff. I tried to go to church one time and it just didn't help. Things got worse. My husband left me, and all these things happened. The dog got run over and I lost my job and all this, you know. And the first thing you know, you say, well, I'm not even going to church. Right. But see, that's exactly what the devil wants us to think. He wants us to look at the negative side of things and say, well, but what God wants us to do is say, it's not over yet. Right. It ain't over. And somebody says, well, you don't look like you're blessed. Well, it ain't over yet.
Right.
Somebody says, well, it don't look like it's working out for you. It ain't over yet. This ain't the end. I'm just in the middle of it right now. And so we got to have that kind of attitude, because wrong thinking and negative thinking will cause you to end up in a wrong place.
Sure will.
Right. Just like, people that ought to be at church tonight, going to church, they're not at church because negative thinking.
Yep.
They didn't think it would help them for whatever reason, But it takes you to the wrong place. And sometimes I believe we have missed divine connections in our life because we was thinking wrong.
Amen.
I think sometimes God had something set up for us, and instead of us going in the right direction, we took a wrong turn because of negative thinking. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 17, it says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now notice that, in the vanity of their mind. And that word vanity means something empty or useless.
Yep.
It means something that's not prospering. In the vanity of their mind, he said, that we walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity or in emptiness of their own mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to his deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Yeah.
And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Glory to God. But notice what it said here. He said, don't walk like in the vanity of your old mind like the Gentiles do. And it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Did you know that if you let your mind stay on empty things all the time, it'll alienate you from the life of God? That's what he said. He said that the vanity of our old mind, it will cause you to be alienated. The word alienated means to be separated.
Yep.
And so if you're, and so that's, you know, that's the reason that we're supposed to read the Bible. That's the reason that we're supposed to come to church. Because it helps keep your thoughts on God.
Yep.
See, and if you're busy with life all the time, just with the cares of life and pleasures and riches and all this stuff, if you're not careful, it will separate you from the life of God because your thoughts are not on God. They're on just empty things, useless things that don't really profit you or do any good. Look with me to Luke chapter 8. Most of you have heard the story of the sower sowing the word of God, sowing the seed. In verse 5, it says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down by the fowls of the air and devoured it. And remember, this seed is the word of God. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. But notice up here it said the birds of the air. And the birds of the air are used as reference to demonic spirits. But it said that the birds of the air devoured those seeds. The devil don't want you to get the word of God. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and it choked it. And others fell on good ground, and it sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had seen these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. The parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Now, when it says out of their hearts, I want you to think about something. It's also a reference to your mind.
Yep.
Because you don't hear thought, you don't hear words in your heart. You hear them in your head, in your mind. And so it's not just talking about down here. You know, it's talking about here. It says, the Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. But your loins is down here. But it said, gird up the loins of your mind, because your mind, your loins is where the productive part of men and women are. But he said, gird up the loins of your mind, because your mind up here is a productive part. You can either produce good seed or bad seed. And so here he said, they that fell on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these having no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But it said that it choked the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. Now, how does those cares, riches, and pleasures of this life choke the word of God unless your mind is on cares, riches, and pleasures? See? So just because you got cares and problems in your life, it don't mean it's going to choke nothing out in your life unless it gets in your mind. But when you get it in your mind, then it can choke it out. Have you ever went through something that you couldn't think of nothing else except that? Where your mind was just burning with that thought, to where you couldn't think of, if you wanted to, you couldn't think of nothing else. And when your mind gets like that, I mean, it's like it totally takes over your mind. And God don't want that to happen. He wants us to choke, to The Bible says, bring every thought into obedience to Christ. But that on the good ground are they which when they have heard in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Glory to God. And so that means that when you hear the word of God, you got to not let nothing else choke it out. You got to, when you're here, as a matter of fact, when you really hear a word from God, you can guarantee the devil's going to try to take it out of your life. He's going to try to cause something to happen in your life right when you're growing spiritually, right when you're fixing to really blossom spiritually. All at once, something's going to happen. It's going to get your mind on that thing or that problem or care or whatever it is to try to get you moved away from the direction you're going. And so don't think it's strange if there's some fiery trial that comes your way right in the middle of when you're growing spiritualness, but don't blame God. It's the devil. He knows what it, because sometimes people say, God, why didn't you let this happen to me? It wasn't God. It was the devil coming to tempt you. He was trying to move you away from the direction you were going. It wasn't God. But he said, the pleasures of this life, the cares of this life, it chokes the word of God. And it's just like if you plant a garden and you don't hoe your garden out, there's weeds going to grow in it.
Yep, right.
And you might have some really good plants come up. But if you don't weed those gardens, get rid of those weeds will choke that plant out and it won't produce much fruit at all.
Right.
It can even kill it. But it'll choke it. It'll choke the life. It'll keep it from producing fruit. And so the same thing's true in our life. We have to stop those things that are trying to choke the word of God out of our life. And see, sometimes I've done it myself. I've let my thought mind get off on something and start thinking about it and not realize where it was taking me. But see, your thought life, you have the potential that whatever you think, you can do. I mean, it's like if you think on something long enough, you may end up doing it. It's just like I've known some people in my life, and I know a particular person right now, a friend of mine, that he was working with this up here in town, and there was a woman, it was a secretary in there, and she was, he liked her, she was married. And so he would go in there every day and he was telling her how pretty she was and how this and all that stuff. And she wouldn't give him the time of day. And I thought, well, good for her. I'm glad she giving him the time of day, you know. But you know what? He wouldn't quit. He just kept on. He just kept on telling her how pretty she was and this and that all the time. I didn't see him for about a year or two. Next time I seen him, he was married to that woman. And I said, well, I guess she gave in. She let that thought get in her mind. And see, sometimes when somebody lets a thought get in your mind, you may think you would never be unfaithful to your husband or your wife. But if you start thinking in your mind how you would like to do it, if you start thinking on that in your mind, if you think on it long enough, it can actually cause you to do it. So whatever you think on, if you start thinking about, boy, I'd like to, gosh, I wonder how it would be to go get high again. I wonder how it would be to go get drunk again. And you start thinking on that, first thing you know, you liable to go do it. Why? Because what you think on has the potential to affect your life. It affects you. It can affect your actions. Glory to God. But God wants to be the one. But the good thing is, God don't want you to have to be sitting around all the time saying, do I need to think this? Do I need to think that? No. What God wants you to do is just get full of God.
Right.
Just get full of the Spirit of God and just enjoy yourself in the Lord. And when you get full of God, it's going to cause you to think the right thoughts. It's going to cause you to go point. And so when you see something, a bad thought come in your mind, it'll automatically say, no, I'm not going to think that.
Right.
I'm not going to think that. Why? Because you've got a right spirit on the inside of you.
Right.
You're full of spirit. But see, that's why you got to forgive people. If people's done you wrong or people's hurt you or things like that, you got to turn loose of it because it'll cause you to have a wrong spirit. And it'll cause you to think wrong thoughts. You know, when you got unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart, you start imagining things about people that you've got unforgiveness against. You start thinking, you know what they're thinking, and you start imagining, you know, how they're such an evil person because, you know, in your mind, it's easy for the devil to plant a thought in your mind because that you have got anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. But you know what? When you forgive somebody, when you really forgive, then it causes you to stay in the right spirit. And it don't let the devil have no place in your life to cause you to go down a wrong direction. Because if you get, when you have unforgiveness and bitterness, bitterness will cause, bitterness is, you can, how many knows that when you, if you, you can really love somebody, but if you become bitter and angry at them and you don't get rid of it, it'll, that bitterness will make you think you hate that person.
Yeah.
Even though you love them, but you don't know it because the bitterness will cover it up. And that once you get rid of the bitterness and the anger, all at once the love comes back. You say, oh, I just love them. But you didn't think you did before. You thought you hated them. You was ready to kill them. Why? Because bitterness will cause you to not feel love. It'll cause you not to feel the things of God. That's why we got to forgive, because if we don't, it'll cause you to go down a wrong pathway. It'll get you in a wrong spirit. Whatever gets you in a wrong spirit is going to get you thinking wrong. That's why the Bible says for us to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself, and forgive if you have aught against any. Because how many knows God knows what He's talking about? He knows what He made us, and He knows what we need. He knows how we need to function to be able to stay in the right spirit. But sometimes we think we know better, and we say, I ain't forgiving them. God knows it. God knows I can't forgive them. God knows, yeah, but He knows what's going to happen to you if you don't.
Right.
You know? And so, but God tries to warn us. But sometimes people think that they know better than God does. But God is trying to protect us and keep us in a right spirit.
Yep.
And I couldn't tell you how many times in my life that, as a Christian, that the enemy has tried to get me to go down a wrong pathway, because that somebody would make me mad or angry or something, you know. And then, as a matter of fact, if you have unforgiveness or bitterness towards somebody, you can't receive from them.
Nope.
I used to have, when I was pastor, I used to have people who'd get mad at me. And they'd just be sitting there going, like, everybody else is like, yeah, that's good. And they're sitting there, this ain't no good. And then they would come to me and they'd say, I'm sorry, brother. I've been offended at you, and I've been mad at you, and I just want you to know I forgive you. I said, well, okay. And then the next time I'm preaching, they're up there on the front row, and they're going, yeah, that's good. And then after church, they come up and they say, man, you're preaching good now. I said, it's not me, it's you. You just got the right spirit. You was in the wrong spirit before, and you couldn't receive from me, see? And so you can't receive when you're in the wrong spirit. That's why you have to forgive, and you have to walk in love, and you have to let God have your problems and give it all to Him. And another thing we have to do is we have to cast our care upon the Lord. Because if you don't cast your care on the Lord, it's going to stay in your mind. You're going to be all the time thinking about that care, that problem. But when you cast your cares upon the Lord, the Bible said the devil, it's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour.
Yep.
And it says, and so what he's doing, he's looking for somebody with a care. And when he finds a care in your life, because right before this verse, it says, cast all your care upon the Lord, because the devil, your adversary, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so he's looking for somebody with cares in your mind. And you know, this will be my last story. I know I'm going long. But when I was pastoring and we were trying to raise money to build a building, and I was at the house, and I preached that morning, and I went home, and I was getting ready to preach that night. And that week I had to have like $7,000 to finish paying, or actually more than that, to finish paying the debt off at the church. And we didn't have it. So I was praying in there in my bedroom, and I'm sitting there praying, and all at once I couldn't pray, because I said, Lord, where are we going to get the money to pay for this? You know, and it was just like I could feel a burden just pushing me down. And those thoughts and those cares was in my mind, and it was like it was just pushing me through the floor. I could just feel the weight of it, like a ton of bricks. And all at once, out of my spirit, I said, I don't care. I said, this is not my problem. This is God's problem. This is His church. And I said, I just give you this problem, Lord, and I give it to you, and I'm not going to worry about it. And when I did that, all at once, I felt something lift off me, and it felt good. And so I started saying, glory to God. I said, I ain't got no problem. This ain't my church. It's God's church. And so when I started doing that, I started feeling good, and I started feeling faith rising up in my heart. And so I started thinking about what I was going to preach that night. And when I did, I started feeling a burden coming on me again. And it was like, now you got to preach tonight. What you going to preach? And then it was like, I said, hey, it worked on that other thing, so it'll probably work for this too. So I said, hey, it's not my church, it's God's church. I said, I'm not going to worry about it. I said, God's going to take care of it tonight. And, you know, I refused to worry. And so when I went to church, all the way to church, I was so happy on the way to church. I was singing. I'm the happiest guy in the whole USA driving down the road. And so when I got to church, I'm sitting there all the way through church, and I'm sitting there. I don't have a message at all. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, Lord, I thank you. I ain't got no cares in the world. And the Holy Ghost was moving. I mean, he was just sweeping through the house that night. And the Lord told me, he said, see, when you cast all your care upon me, it said it frees my hands to where I can move on your behalf. And so then about that time, it was time for me to get up and preach. And so they said, we're turning to you, Brother Brad. And I'm standing there and all at once it hit me that I don't have a message and I'm fixing to have to preach. And so I said, maybe I carried this a little too far here. And so then I said, the Lord spoke to me and he said, no. He said, I want you to get up there and tell them what happened to you today. And so I did. And then when I did, there was people come up and they had cares in their life and they give it to God. And we got testimonies from it later on that week about people getting delivered. But the thing of it was, see, as long as I had that care, I had the burden. But when I give that care to God and I refuse to carry it, God took care of it, and he lifted the burden off of me. And so tonight, the reason I'm saying this is because this is one of the areas where the devil puts pressure on people in your mind is when you have cares. When you have something that's really burdening you down, it has a way of getting in your mind and staying there all the time. And so tonight, God wants you to cast all of your care upon him because he cares for you. Right. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads tonight. Glory to God. Father, we just